First Thessalonians chapter 4 is a text that I have read many times at funerals, sometimes at graveside services, but it's appropriate this morning. First Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. As I said, this is a passage that sometimes is read during a funeral service, but I think it's very appropriate to talk about it during this season, because we all know that that a Christian views death much differently than the person who doesn't know the Lord. We don't look at death the same. Everything is changed whenever a person is born again. So you look at even your death and the end of your life is not something that is to be dreaded, but it's something that we look to as a wonderful, blessed hope that we have. That one day soon we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be in that prepared place that has been prepared for all of us that are born again, all of us that are children of God. Praise God for that. I had an experience a lot of years ago in the 80s when I was a very young pastor. I was myself and a few men were helping. There was a flood that had come through the area, and there was a lady that we were friends with that we were trying to help, who her home was right. She lived in a mobile home right near the river, and the river was projected to get out of its banks. And so some of the men from the church had gone to help her remove. Her husband was very ill, and we were trying to help her get her property and her belongings out of the house before the flood came. And while we were there, we met her neighbor just briefly that day. We met her neighbor and talked with her for a while, and she was also trying to help. And so that was it. A few weeks went by, maybe a few months. Can't remember exactly how long it was, but a few months went by, and one day I received a phone call, and it was this woman that I had met while I was there helping this lady. And she said, could you come to the funeral home? Our family we've lost our niece. She's been tragically killed, and our family don't know what to do. I'd never been put in a predicament. Like I said, I was a really young pastor, maybe 30 years old. I don't really know how old I was, 30, 32 years old. And so I went to the funeral home, and I've been to funerals. I've ministered in funerals all of my life. I've been around it, but I'd never witnessed grief at the level that I saw that day. That family was so overwhelmed with grief that they couldn't even make their funeral arrangements. The funeral director was turning to me and say, well, and I hardly even knew these people. I really didn't know them at all. But they were, so I made the arrangements for them that day, because this was a family that was so overwhelmed with grief that they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to plan. And so the funeral ended up being at the church. The building was packed with people. And I witnessed, did my very best to give them hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That day, I'd never witnessed people passing out at the coffin and having to be revived. I'm talking about grief. This was a 20-year-old young lady that stopped on the side of the highway to help someone that their car had broken down, and she stopped to see if she could help. She got between her car and the car that was broke down, and another car came from behind and hit her car and pinned her between the two cars, and she was instantly killed, 20 years old. You can imagine the grief. It was unbelievable. I'd never witnessed anything like it before. But I want you to know that it was kind of a raw grief like I have not seen before or since in that situation, because these people hardly knew anything about God. They didn't know about God. They didn't go to church. They had no Christian friends. I mean, I had a chance meeting with a family member, and I became the person that they leaned heavily upon. They didn't know what to do in a time of sorrow, in a time of grief. And I realized through all that experience, Christians face the end much differently than those who don't know the Lord. I'm so thankful we have a hope. And this scripture here tells us what that hope is all about. Our hope is in Him. Why? Because we believe that Jesus died and He rose again. And even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So the message is that Jesus died and took away the sting of our death. And He rose from the dead, and because of that, we have the hope of the resurrection ourselves. And it says in this text, and not only that, but those who die in the Lord, which are asleep in Jesus, will He bring with them. That just means He's saying, I'm not going to forget those that have been sent to the grave. As a matter of fact, in this text, it says, those that are in the grave are going to, they're going to rise first. They're going to rise first, and we're all going to meet together in the air. And so we have a hope because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have hope. And that's something that the world doesn't have. We take it for granted because we know when our brother or sister, and how many times have we sit in this church and we've had some of our loved ones, our family, our church family, that have passed away, and yes, we're grieved over the loss, but we don't grieve like those that don't have hope. We grieve much differently because we have the hope that one day, very soon, we are going to see them again. We are going to be in the presence of the Lord with them. They're not going to be sick anymore. They're not going to be facing any of the physical limitations that they faced before. They're all free of that, and they're in a wonderful presence of the Lord for all of eternity. And so we have a hope that the world doesn't know anything about. And we need to be sharing that hope with those that are out there in this world that are around us. Thank God for the hope that we have because Jesus went to the cross and that He rose from the dead. Glory to God. What a wonderful hope that we have. Let me just talk to you a few minutes about hope, because hope is something that you can't survive without it. You have to have hope. If you don't have hope, then you get sucked into a depression, into a hopelessness, and into a dark place. There has to be hope, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He is the God of all hope. There is no hope outside of Him. Hope, let me just mention a few things about hope here this morning. Hope can help you move forward. Hope can help you to move forward because you have an expectation. We trust the character of God and the reliability of God's word. We have our confidence and our hope in Him. And because of that, you're not turning around and going back. You're looking forward. You have hope. And hope causes you to be able to take another step, to go forward, to do what's next, to do the next thing, and to move forward. You don't get stuck in your life like, there's no hope for me. There is hope for you, but that hope begins with your life being surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you give your life to the Lord, then there is hope. Outside of Him, hopelessness, despair, no future, nothing. But with Him, there is a future. You do have an expectation. You know what the enemy wants to do is he wants to destroy your hope. He wants to destroy your life and your future. James chapter 1, it says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth death. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the process. That sin just gets worse and worse. You get further and further away from God. And eventually, the plan of the enemy is your destruction. When he gets through with you, it's death. You're finished. When he gets through with you, and you have, not only is your life over, but you have no hope of eternity outside of Jesus Christ. But that's not the way it is with God. That's not the way it is with the plan of God. God takes your life, and from this day forward, he gives you hope. He gives you hope for the future. Amen. The wonderful verse that we read often from Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or other versions say, to give you a hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. He takes you right where you are. He saves you. He delivers you from your sin. And he forgives you of all of your past, and he washes it all away, and then he gives you a hope and a future. He can take your life from where you are right now, and he can turn it around, and he can give you hope, because he's the God of all hope. Praise God. But not only does he push you forward, but God can make your right now, your present, the best it can possibly be. Hope can change you right now, today. It changes you. It can energize your present situation that you're in right now if you'll put your faith and your trust in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or a living hope. Amen. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not worshiping a Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago. You're not worshiping a Jesus of Galilee and the past. You're worshiping a Jesus that is alive right now. He's living right now. He came out of the tomb and he's alive. He's a lively hope. He's a living hope. He's alive right now, and he can give you hope, a living hope. How did he do that? It says, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the week of Easter and resurrection celebration. And we're celebrating the fact that Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. He came out of the tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's living. He's alive. And he can make you alive. And he can cause your day, this very day today, to be completely transformed and turned around. And he wants to make your present circumstance completely transformed and different, because he is a God of today, right now, in your present situation. Amen. Hope causes, hope is like the stars of the heavens. That whenever the sun is out and everything is going well, everything is bright, you don't see the stars, but they're up there shining. You just don't see them. But when the darkness comes, then you see them. You need hope because you're in the middle of a dark situation. Because your life is dark. It's hope is like those stars that shine in the midst of all of the darkness that you're in. God gives to you hope in your present situation. Charles Spurgeon said that hope was like a star seen bright at night against the backdrop of darkness. It shines the brightest. Glory to God. Amen. So no matter how dark it may seem, or how dark your life circumstances might be, It's the enemy that whispers in your ear and says, no hope for you, no answer for your situation. You're not going to be able to come out of this. But I want you to know, you need to get a hold of hope today in this service and understand, yeah, in the darkness, that's when the stars shine the brightest. That's when hope is within your reach. Just reach out in faith and get a hold of hope here this morning in this service. Glory to God. Do you know that hope has the power to bring healing also in your life? Healing in your situation that you are in. I can't believe how many people are struggling with discouragement, depression, overwhelmed with a sense of hopelessness. And I talk to people so often that they're just, it's like they're being swallowed up by despair and hopelessness. You need answers. You need God to move into your situation. See, the enemy, he attacks your mind. He attacks your thinking. He whispers in your ear. He tries to convince you your case is hopeless. No way your life could ever be turned around. But the scripture says in Romans 5 and in verse 5 that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hopeth makes not ashamed. It just means that hope doesn't disappoint. You get a hold of God, it doesn't disappoint. God's going to come through for you. If you'll reach out in faith and get a hold of the Lord here this morning in this service, the Lord can bring hope and healing and deliverance to you and can change your life for the glory of God. He's the God of hope. We already have quoted that scripture. That's from Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 of chapter 15. For patience, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I'm reading a lot of scripture here this morning, and I just encourage you, if you're going through a battle in your mind and the enemy is lying to you, you need to read God's word. You need to get in the word of God. You need the comfort of the scripture that can drive out all the lies of the enemy. The only thing that is a cure to the lies of the enemy is the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God that can drive out all the lies of the enemy. Praise God. So his word is like a healing to your mind that just drives away all of the doubt, the despair, the hopelessness of the situation that you might find yourself in. There is hope. Job chapter 14 and verse 7. Job said, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Now Job is speaking in faith, because his life circumstance has gotten so bad that it seemed that there was no way to turn it around. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his health. He had lost everything. But Job said, if a tree is cut down and it's completely gone, is there hope? He said, oh yeah, there's hope. That thing can start to sprout again, and it can grow back. And it can be restored. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. There is hope. There is hope for you. There's hope for your situation, in your life, in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your health. Whatever it is that you're struggling with here this morning, there is hope for you, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you know that hope stabilizes your life? Hope stabilizes your life. In the time when the Romans were murdering Christians by the hundreds and thousands, they hid away in what's known as the catacombs. The catacombs were just tunnels and caves that they hid in to try to save their lives from the Romans that wanted to kill them. in the catacombs, in these caves and tunnels where the Christians hid from the Roman persecution, there are 66 different drawings of anchors on the walls of those caverns. Now, there's all kinds of drawings that they made, but 66 of those drawings are of anchors. You see, their situation was really bleak and hopeless, but they never lost hope. They held on to the promise of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And so those Christians hid away and drew pictures of anchors, reminding them of the promise of the Word of God. Hope is like an anchor. Hope stabilizes you. It keeps your life from getting off balance. It stabilizes you and keeps you on track. It causes you to live a life that's sure, steadfast, and stable. Glory be to God. Amen. Not only that, but hope is a defense. There's a lot more we could say about hope here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. He compares your salvation to a helmet that would be worn into battle. The hope of your salvation is like a defense. You see, the enemy, as I've already said, the enemy comes with lies, with deception. He whispers in your ear, no hope for you, no answer for you, no way out for you. You're just going to live out your life, and you're never, ever going to have a life that's going to be joyful. You're never going to have a life of blessing. You're always going to live out under the pressures and the destructive powers of the enemy. That's what he says. You need the helmet of salvation to defend you from all of the thinking and the thoughts and the words and the lies of the enemy that he wants to come against you. And that helmet of salvation will protect you from all of these things so that you'll no longer be vulnerable to the thoughts and all of the things that the enemy sends your way. You just need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to put on the helmet of salvation. And how do you do that? You come to Jesus in faith. You come to him in faith, and you put your faith in him today. And you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And you repent of your sins before the Lord. You confess your sins and you ask him, Lord, would you come and would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? And Lord, save me and put that helmet of salvation upon my head so that I can be protected from all of the things that the enemy wants to send my way. Glory to God. You need to get saved. And if you've been saved, You need to go on a regular basis back to the foot of the cross. Just keep going back to Jesus. Just keep going back to him. How long do you need to do that? I've been saved a long, long time, but I still have to do it. I still need to do it. I still need to go back to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need you to help me, Lord. I can't make it on my own. I've got to have you, Lord, to strengthen me and to help me. You need a regular trip to the cross, back to the altar, back to the place of repentance, so that he can renew you and restore you and work mightily in your life. Glory to God. It's in him alone. It's in Christ alone. Those words are from a wonderful hymn. It's in Christ alone that my hope is found. And it's the only hope. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope in money. There's no hope in career. There's no hope in bank accounts or investments. There's no hope in relationships with people. There's no hope in anything that this world has to offer. It's an empty promise. It cannot help you. It's going to put you back in that place of despair and hopelessness. But there's hope in Jesus. Praise God. There is hope in Jesus. And so that day I preached to those people that were gathered at that funeral, and I preached to them about the cross. And most of those people, I don't know that I ever saw any of them. The building was packed full of people. But I talked about that young lady that had got out of her car, and she'd stopped, and it was a place where roads met, and it was a very dangerous intersection. And I said, she stopped at a crossroads to try to help someone, and she lost her life. But then I went ahead and I told them about someone else at a crossroads that gave their life. And he gave their life, his life, for them to be saved. And I preached the cross that day. And I preached Jesus to them to let them know that there is only one hope. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people didn't know anything about the Lord. You know what? One of the songs that they wanted played in the funeral service, she had been in the high school band. And so they wanted a song played over the sound system that was a marching band song. And so I found the song, Rise Again, Ain't No Grave. What's that? What's the words to that? So I'll rise again. I found that performed by a marching band. And we played that in the funeral service. And it was all these drums and all this. But it was the song, Rise Again. And that's what they wanted. They wanted a marching band. They didn't know anything about church or God or serving God. And we did our very best that day to point them to Jesus. That he's the hope. He's the answer. And when you don't have any hope, you have to turn to the one who is the God of all hope. Amen. And he can change your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together all across this building today. We're going to believe God to minister to lives, to touch lives in this service today. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to welcome everybody in this service. And if you don't know the Lord, or maybe you've just strayed away from God and walked away from the things of God, and you need to get back to him, and you're living under this cloud of hopelessness, and you can't see that there's any hope for your life or your future, you don't know what to do or where to turn, there's hope. And that hope is in Jesus. You can find him today in this service. So anybody that's in this meeting here today, there's no hope for your life or your future, but you're going to reach out in faith today and ask the Lord to change your life. Ask the Lord to give you hope. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Would you come? Amen. Praise the Lord.